Morning. Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus today. Great to have you here with us this morning for the Lord's gifts is what he showers upon us today in our divine service. His forgiveness, his love, his mercy, his promises, and his care. We're glad that you're here. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning to our service. Thanks for joining us as well. Wish you the Lord's blessings as he brings his word to you over the radio waves. And this morning we see throughout our service the beautiful reality of the help and faithfulness of our God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How he's always with us, how he gives us his strength and his peace and his comfort every day. And we worship him for it. We offer him thanksgiving and praise, our gifts and prayers together this morning. Our service begins this morning with our hymn of invocation. That's hymn 912 in your hymnal. Christ is our cornerstone. We sing that hymn together, and we do invite the congregation to please stand on the last verse of the hymn this morning. Let's sing. Begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We continue with our intro this morning from Psalm 147. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, and those who hope in his steadfast love.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the 23rd chapter of the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah speaks in this reading about evil shepherds who don't shepherd their flocks according to the word of God or his way at all, in fact, and then ends the reading declaring about Christ himself. And I want to draw a special attention to the last five words there of the reading and what Jeremiah refers to our Lord Jesus as at the end of this reading in verse 6. The Lord is our righteousness, he says. And just before we read our reading, that's because we're not our own righteousness. The Lord himself becomes our righteousness through his cross and resurrection. We begin in verse 1 of Jeremiah 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our epistle lesson from Ephesians 2, wanting to just give an explanation on this text as well. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, talking about Jesus and about how in him, you'll hear him refer to Jesus in the reading as a one new man. And so in the person of Jesus himself, uniting what was divided, specifically in context, Jew and Gentile, but bringing them together in the one new man, the new Adam, Jesus Christ. He's broken down the middle wall of hostility. He's abolished the judgments against us of the law. We begin in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 2. Remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to please stand if you're able for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day for today? That hymn is 644, The Church's One Foundation. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Do you know how it feels to be overwhelmed? I do. Do you know it really well? Lots of us do, right? You know, we all have one thing in common regarding those feelings of being overwhelmed. We really don't like it. At all. It's not fun. It's terrible. And it'll get at you after a while. Did you know to be overwhelmed literally means to be overpowered? It's defined in our English dictionary by the military sense of the word. To be overpowered by numbers or force. To be overwhelmed. You can think of a ship out in a big ocean of water, and the water's so big, right? So enormous that it just overwhelms the ship. But we get it. We often say, connected not really to boating or to war necessarily, but more to our emotions, we'll say, I feel overwhelmed. It's normal, and we get it. But given the understanding of the word, might we consider the Apostle Paul's words to us? He writes in Ephesians and says, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and evil forces of darkness in heavenly places. So for us too, when we get overwhelmed, it can feel like we're being overpowered by something, some force, right? We don't really understand, and honestly, we can't usually even see what's bothering us. Because we'll go through, as people, tremendous achievements and never really feel overwhelmed, but then something will blindside us and just completely exhaust us and overwhelm us. So what does this have to do with God? Everything. Everything to do with him. I want to ask you a question this morning. It has a lot to do with that. Why do we hate being overwhelmed so much? Why does it make us so uncomfortable to be that way? Well, when we're overwhelmed, we get this strong sense of a lack of control, don't we? In fact, I think that's usually what it is. At least I can speak for myself. When I feel like the situation around me is bigger than I am, kind of like those waves out on that ocean with that boat, and like I'm not in control anymore of what's happening to me, and then it starts to feel, some people will say, like a whirlwind, and it's like everything's just coming at me, and I'm not sure which way to turn, right? There's this sense of a lack of control. It's an inability to master our circumstances. We've seen, we've understood that we're not in control, but oh my gosh, we want to be. It's draining to feel overwhelmed. But consider our gospel reading, Mark chapter 6. Here's the disciples, right? And Jesus. According to Mark 6, they're out in a desolate place, and they were looking for some much needed R&R, some rest, because the text told us that they were so busy that they didn't even get time to eat. They couldn't even stop and take a break and sit down and eat for a minute. They were that busy. They get to this place on this boat, and what do they find? You know, all the people knew they were going there. And so from the towns, they ran and got there first. I guess it was pretty obvious which direction Jesus and his crew were coming from across the water on the boat. they find is more people. Jesus sees the people. Mark records that when he should have been overwhelmed, I would think, but he wasn't. Instead, he had compassion on them. And he called them sheep without a shepherd. But as the day comes to a close, his disciples say to Jesus in verse 35, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat." This is the part that really got me, and the reason that this is on my heart, right? Because of Jesus' response to them. He says to his disciples, "You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat." Now granted, because we have the blessing of being able to read the whole narrative from Mark's gospel, we know why he said that, right? Because he's planning to feed all these people, 5,000 men plus women and children, probably something like 20,000 plus. He's planning to feed all of them. That's why he said it. But the disciples in that moment wouldn't have necessarily known what the plan was to solve this problem. They'd have been in a spot where the words from Jesus' mouth, "You give them something to eat." We don't often think about it, but that's a command of God in that moment. Could have brought with it the feeling of being what? Overwhelmed. Quite overwhelmed. Bewildered. He doesn't leave them in that feeling too long in the discourse from Mark's gospel. But their response, not sure if we should read it as, you know, humble service to Jesus or as a bit of sarcasm, but they say, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" Roughly $2,000 in today's money. It seems like they think that maybe they made a mistake in that text. It seems like they're wondering, like, was it a mistake to say to Jesus, "You send them into town and villages to buy food"? Maybe we should have said to Jesus, "Hey, how about we'll go pick up dinner, right? For all these folks. We'll give them something to eat." Maybe that's where we messed up. Obviously, some overwhelming feelings. I mean, I know how it feels when it's dinner time and there's nothing really to eat, right? We know how that feels, every single one of us. And you gotta come up with something. So Trish and I will be scratching our heads going, "I don't know what to do tonight," right? That can even feel overwhelming. 20,000 people and it's your problem and you're out in the middle of a desolate place where there's nothing? They're gonna feel overwhelmed. And we can empathize with it. And besides the fact, right, that Jesus said, "Get in this boat and let's go to a desolate place so you can rest a while." That's what he told them. So what's on their minds, right? It's just like when you and I are expecting to go hit the DQ in Monta Vista to get some ice cream, but we get there in the drive-thru and we say, "Hey, we'd like a Snickers Blizzard with no chocolate and cookie dough." And what do they say? "Sorry, our ice cream machine's broken." Oh, they're expecting a break. And they're not getting it at all. When they got there and there's just more huge crowds. There's no kicking back for these guys on this trip. And now the disciples have to figure out what's for dinner. But Jesus doesn't leave them too long in that overwhelmed state. He quickly offers them direction. But I think it's important to see that even for just a moment in this text, Jesus purposefully allows them to feel that overwhelmed feeling that we all don't like so much. He lets them feel it, even for a moment, with that command, "You give them something to eat." They didn't know how to do it. Here's the thing. He puts them in a situation like that so that he can provide for them. He puts them in a situation like that ever so briefly, letting them feel that overwhelmed feeling so he can provide for them. And he does and allows the same in our lives. You feel overwhelmed, you know that feeling? Let me encourage you. This life isn't up to your control. You can't accomplish the things that you think you can accomplish alone, and being at the master controls of this life will end up in one way and one way only for you or for me, and it's probably not good. That's why we have a God who is at the master controls of this life and who does love us and who does promise in his word to care for us. Now that care isn't going to go the way that I, according to my own plan, think it should go. Right? I've got ideas of how God can care for me, trust me. I bet you have some too. But it's not necessarily going to work out that way. Right? Because we're not the ones in control. We don't have the master plan. And so when we act like we do and then we find out we don't, guess what happens? We get really overwhelmed. Because we sense that lack of control and we don't like it. But I'm saying to you, why are we so uncomfortable in that feeling? Well, as time goes along in life, we learn that many of the things we're uncomfortable in are the best things for us. And when we feel overwhelmed at times, we can look back and say, I'm doing it again. God, forgive me. You're the one in control of this, not me. I'm not saying that's easy. It's easy for me to say from the pulpit. Thanks, preacher. It's not easy to do in real life. But God leads us by faith to show us his love and his control and his care for us. We don't like feeling like that. But maybe there's something good in it. Since Jesus has died and rose again and ascended into the heavens and made all things new, maybe there's something good in that too. Maybe he's trying to tell us something. That he is in control. And that as we get all worked up about trying to be, may it lead us back to him. And to his steady hand in our lives. His strength of his love and his forgiveness in our lives. And his ultimate control over everything. The weird thing is when we make a plan, we have a plan on how we want life to go, and then we find out that it wasn't God's plan. Do we believe that God's plan was better? Or do we get upset with God and blame him and say, well, hold on, I wanted it to go this way. I didn't want this problem or this situation or that situation. Why did you let that happen to me? Hey, you want to witness something? I actually have a beef right now like that. I wonder, in my own life, why did you allow this to happen to me? But guess what I need to do? I don't need to get upset with God. I need to flush my plan. Get rid of that plan. Burn that thing. Throw it in the fire. Kick it down the street. I don't care, but get rid of it. Because it is obviously not his. But he has one. And he promises you that it's good and that he'll make good out of all the stuff that frustrates us about what happens to us in life and overwhelms us. All things work to the good of those who believe. God's promise to you is that even though it isn't the way you wanted to do it, friends, in this life, guess what? His is better. And you be humbled by that this morning and actually stop and say, okay, all right, I'll go with you, Lord. But we get into these situations and those big, big waves, they come, right? And those military-like forces that we don't seem to be able to stop from showing up in our brains still show up. And there's turmoil and there's trouble and then we still feel overwhelmed. Well, get this. Those guys in Mark chapter 6, those disciples, there's no way they could fix that problem. There was no way. And we get into those situations where there's no way I can fix this problem. That's that overwhelmness. The Lord wants you to know today that when it seems like impossible to us, it's still possible. And why is it still possible? Because we have Christ. Because he died on his cross and he rose again and he ascended into the heavens and he made all things new for you and for me. And that means that when you're in trouble, when you're in a moment like the disciples where you're like, what are we going to do here? Because he wants us to feed 20,000 plus people and we don't have any food. When you're in a moment that overwhelms you, you have Christ. You can say with your mouth what you need. And he'll hear you. You can speak words on this tiny little earth in your tiny little home or your tiny little car. You can speak words and he'll hear you. He wants to draw us back to it this morning, to seeing that reality that's true in our lives that we forgot. Be honest. We forgot. We forgot the power of prayer. We forgot what it means to have Jesus on our team, right? Brings us back and he says, when it seems impossible to you, I can still get it done, friends. Might not work out the way you want it to or the way I want it to, but it will according to his plan, his good and gracious plan for you, work out to the best. Because trust me, one day the trump's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise up. And our Lord is going to appear in the clouds. And when that happens and he takes you and me up into the heavenly places and we get to hear these gorgeous and beautiful words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou in. When that moment comes, we're going to see with our eyes that his plan was best, friends. He knew exactly what he was doing through every trial and every temptation and everything that had you and me all overwhelmed about life, that he actually was in control. That day's coming. And we rejoice in it because he's brought us along with his spirit and faith. In those moments, when it feels like it's impossible, when it feels overwhelming, when it feels like too much, remember this psalm, and then we close. I lift up my eyes to the hills. And where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service where we confess our faith together to the words of the Nicene Creed. I invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess the creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten unmade, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was born by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. And was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and by that being one of the holy Christian and apostolic church, I acknowledge my baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated. For our prayer of the church this morning, our response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, for your compassion shown in Christ Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep and the righteous son of David. Keep us trusting at all times in your mighty right hand, in your strength when we're weak, in your power of love, grace, and forgiveness. For Lord, only in you is true satisfaction and contentment found. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God of Israel, you promised to set caring shepherds over the sheep of your pasture. Lord, drive away deceitful shepherds who scatter your flock. And gather your sheep into your heavenly kingdom by the hands of pious and faithful men whom you send in your name. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in Jesus' compassion for the crowd, he provided bread and fish until all had eaten their fill and were satisfied. Lord, give us our daily bread according to your will. Help us to use the gifts that you've given us in this life to care for those who are in need. Lord, inspire us by your word and thanksgiving to you for what you've done. To be there for others, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly King, you provide for all our needs of body and soul. We pray. You grant us good government and faithful rulers while reminding us always that all provision, including government, comes from you, Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, for your constant care and all that we need to support this body and life. We pray that you'd attend to all those in need. Lord, we name before you from the altar this morning those who have requested our prayers. Lord, we lift up to you Irene Monser Chadwick, the Jardin family, family of Michaela Wright and Jaden Wright, Frank Rendon, Joe and family, Echo Webb and her family, Lori Hauser, Sam Mestis, Zai Cavaletto, Isabel Cody, Julie Knoll, Ricky Luco. We lift up the Johnson family to you, Lord. Give you thanks and praise for their new blessing, Juliet. We lift up Sean and Jim and Linda Holman, and Debbie Ford and Carolyn Jerry, and Betty Gray and Sandy Santisteven, and Betty Patton, and Sonny Rumler, and Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. We lift these, our friends, neighbors, and loved ones, those in need, up to you, O Lord, and pray you free them from dismay and fear by the certainty of Christ and their righteousness as a blessed gift of faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, your Son once said a feast in a desolate place, miraculously multiplying loaves and fish to feed a multitude through the miracle of his Holy Supper. He continues to bless and give us a heavenly feast, his very body and blood for our forgiveness. Give us faith as we meet him at his table, that we may greet him always as the Lord, our righteousness. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks to you, O Lord, that you have made us fellow citizens with the saints in light. Keep us, we pray, in the true faith for as long as you preserve us in this world, that we would hopefully and eagerly await the day when we stand in your presence with them through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We come to the time in our service where we have the opportunity to offer back to the Lord a portion of those things that he's blessed us with in our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy some instrumental music from our organist. If you've been joining us on the radio, we thank you for tuning in this morning. We wish you the Lord's blessings throughout your week. If you're gathered with us here in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in your bulletin this morning, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on a night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK.